Our goal tonight is to share 10 ideas, 10 messages, 10 insights for your Seder, and hopefully that you will be able to take and inspire yourself or the members of your Seder in your family or your friends, wherever you're going to be this year. And halavai, everybody should be able to be together with someone, please God, this year more than last. But it's specifically, it's very important for this distinguished group, for this Neely audience, because the simple pshat in the Shulchan Aruch is that women, Noshim, are obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even though it is, on some level, a time-bound mitzvah, it's an obligation for women to participate, to actively engage in this mitzvah. And Rav Shechter Shalita, he explains that this is because of the connection between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of matzah, which is obligatory for women. Others say that maybe it's because Afein Hayo Oba'os Farnes, women participated in precipitating the miracle and being saved in the miracle. So, women, this is your night. You work so hard for it, you prepare for it, you invest in it. It's also your night from a ruchnius standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, from an educational standpoint, to contribute. So our goal tonight is to share with you 10 ideas. Now, one of them has 3 subsets, so it's going to be more than 10, but we always stick to 10 ideas that you can invest in your Seder. The first step in our Seder, we learn that Baal Haggadah tells us, Kadesh. Bring sanctity into the world. Bring Kedusha into your Seder. Bring holiness into your table. And sometimes we get to the Haggadah, maybe we're tired, maybe we're exhausted, even at that level, and maybe we don't feel that we have that capacity. But the Baal Haggadah is telling you, Kadesh, you can bring Ruchnius into your Seder. There was a great Hasidic master, his name is Rav Chenech Henech of Alexander. So he was, in the 19th century, he was a crucial figure. He was like a bridge between two Hasidic masters of Gur, between the Chiddush Yarim and his grandson, the Sfas Emes. And for 4 years, he was, you know, the Rebbe of Ger. He was like the man in Poland. The Polish Hasidic master of Henech, he tells us, you know what? Remember that you have the capacity to bring Kedusha. Every man, every woman, we need to reinforce for ourselves, Kadesh. You can bring Kedusha into the world. How do you know this? The Pasuk says, it instructs us, Kedoshim Tiyu, we should be holy. We can create Ruchnius, we can create meaning. Ki Kadosh Ani, because Hashem says, I am holy. I am your father, I am your mother. I am the source of Kedusha. And because you're my children, you can be that extension. Imagine he tells a mashal that a young man is getting married and his parents are extremely affluent. And he's going to the family business. And one night, the week before his wedding, he's sitting around with his friends. He says, guys, I don't know what's going to be. How am I going to deal with, make sure I have parnasa once I get married? And the guys say to him, don't worry. You're in the family business. Your parents are investing in you. So you don't have to worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, I'm your father. I'm investing in you. You can bring Kedusha into the world because I'm the source of Kedusha. And you, every Jewish person, man or woman, you are an emissary. You are a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baal Haggadah says, Kadesh. And maybe that's why at the beginning of Magid, we need to reinforce this. In many Haggadahs, I don't know how many of you have this in your Haggadah, but many Haggadahs, right at the beginning, before they start the Magid, right before the Manishtana, they have a little tiny line. It's in this Haggadah, maybe it's in some of your Haggadahs. They have a little line. It says, V'kan HaBen Shoel. This is where the child asks. Now, child ask. Isn't that interesting? Don't we all know the child asks the Manishtana? The child, like the Rambam says, the child is supposed to ask the father, Manishtana, how different? What's different? Why is this different? So why does the Baal Haggadah have to say, V'kana ben Shoel? Now, kindelach, children, make sure you ask. Because maybe when we got to the Seder, we've been so busy, and we've, maybe even over the course of the year, we've lost our connection to our Father in heaven, and we forgot that we have a Father. We forgot that we are connected to Kedusha. So someone, the Baal Haggadah, has to lean over and tap us on the shoulder and say, V'kana ben Shaul, now it's your turn to ask. If you forgot that you were a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you've been too busy or you got lost, don't worry. You have a Father in heaven, and now's your turn to ask. V'kana ben Shaul, the Haggadah reminds us we have an Av. We are Bonim Lamokom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father. We are children of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Lea. We have the capacity to bring Kedusha into our lives, into our Seder. This is our chance. So let's be ambitious. Even if we're sitting alone, take a few moments to instill that Kedusha. The matzah's burning in the oven. I have to make sure that the chicken got out on time. And this kid needs attention. And that older person is falling asleep at the table. That's okay. That's all okay. Because at the end of the day, you just have to keep reinforcing Kadesh. In whatever circumstance you're in, ki kodosh ani, you can bring kedusha. You have a Father in heaven, v'kan haben shoel. Realize we have that capacity. That's number one. We tell the story and we say, mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. It was kind of rough at the beginning because we were idol worshippers. And so the Baal Haggadah, he quotes a pasuk, and this the parents, this connection, that mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu, it's not exactly where we would like to maybe connect ourselves, because we are attached to none other than Terach Avi Avram, mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu, because the pasuk says, vayomer Yoshua al kol ha'am, you remember, you were Yashva avoseichem be'evra nar me'olam Terach Avi Avram. Why do you talk about Terach the Seder? Well, much of the Seder is about being a parent, maybe by extension, being a grandparent. And sometimes maybe we don't feel so good about ourselves as parents. Maybe we haven't accomplished all of our goals. Maybe we haven't hit every exact highlight that we wanted to in our parenting career. But you know what the Baal Haggadah says? That's okay too. Because Emir Tzashem, if we daven for Siyata Deshmaya, if we're Zoch, if we have Mazel, our children could be like Avram, even if we're like Terach. I don't know how geschmack this word is for everybody, but it makes me feel so good. You could be like Terach. You could be, maybe you could say, Mamash, I'm the biggest parental failure. The guy takes his own son, throws him into a furnace with Nimrod, he accuses him of treason. In a polytheistic society. But you know what? We say he was still a good father. He wasn't a perfect father, Rachmana Litzlan. We're not Terach. But you know what? He also gets some credit. The Ramban says he also wanted Ruchnius. He tried. Maybe he wasn't so successful. And maybe he died in Charon because he didn't quite get all the way. But you know what? When we come to the Seder, sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, you know what? I should have written more Divrei Torah for my kid. I should have invited this one. I should have done that. I could have done the other thing. But you know what? We're not Terach. And even Terach, he gets a shout out at the Seder. So it's okay. We don't have to be perfect parents for B'siyata D'Shemaya, our children to turn out like Avram, like Sarah, like Yitzchak, like Rivka. It's okay. Even if B'tchila, at the beginning of our journey, it wasn't so perfect. Next year will be a little bit better parents. Next year will be a little bit parents. But even Terach, he was able to be considered to be a parent. The Arba Bonim, those four children that are sitting at the table, one of those children is a Rasha, Lo Aleinu. Now, thank God he's sitting at the table. But a couple of years ago, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, a few of us were gathered around his table in the Beis Din. And he shared with us some insights on Pesach, and we think of him this year as his neshama is looking down on us for the first time preparing for Pesach. We are without him. So he told us what he learned from his Rebbe, from Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. He said that the Rav constantly emphasized in his teachings the role of surrender, of giving ourselves up, of relying wholly and completely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Schwartz suggested that that is the fundamental fatal flaw of the Rasha. The Rasha is not prepared to do the work. Mo avodah zos lachem. Why are you doing all this work? God said so? But he's not prepared to just take sometimes when God says so. Rav Schwartz quoted us a little pidgam, a little vort from Rav Avadya Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that, you know, we say at the end of davening, we say, Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kemalkeinu. There's nothing else. There's no one like God. There's nothing else but God. After we say Ein Kelokeinu, that we're prepared to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we could say, Mi Kelokeinu, who is like our God? Who is God? Where are you, God? How do we understand this, God? But the preface to Mi Kelokeinu, the questions, is Ein Kelokeinu. And Rav Schwartz explained to us from the Rav that the Rav emphasized this idea that we need to be prepared to surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on one level, sometimes some people feel, well, that's a big ask. That's very uncomfortable. But you know what? The truth is there anything more comforting than putting our trust, our faith, our life in the hands of the Borei Olam, who loves us, who cares about us, who wants to take care of us? So the best thing we can do is to say, Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kemalkeinu, is to say, Nasa v'nishma, because Rebbe Shalom, we're going to follow you out in the desert. Maybe that's why the Balagada says, Ilu hayasham lo haya nigal, because that person who only wants to understand why first and is not prepared to surrender, to follow the Rebbe Shalom, wouldn't have been prepared to go into the desert. Because he says, Ma avod azoz lachem. I need first the Google map. Maybe in those days it was MapQuest. You know, I need the MapQuest. I'm not leaving Egypt without MapQuest. But Rav Schwartz says that sometimes Rabbon Shalom expects us to put our trust in him and to follow him and just surrender. Number one, we had Kaddish. Number two, Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah. We can learn a positive lesson from Terach. And number three, learning from the Rosh of the importance of surrendering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yachol me Rosh Chodesh. The Baal HaGadah says, I had a Havamina, that maybe we should start telling the story. We should start this process of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim me Rosh Chodesh, from yesterday, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But the Baal HaGadah says, it's based on the Medrash says, no, you can't start from Rosh Chodesh, Talmud Lomar Bayomahu, on that day. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, I Bayomahu, maybe on that day, no. Yochum Ibod Yom, I both thought during the daytime, Talmud Lomar Bavurze Lo Amarti El Bishar Sheish Matz Umar Munachem Lefanecha. Amazing vart from the Halakha Beis Yisrael. Now this vart from the Beis Yisrael, you have to preface it with an amazing context. If you look, the Beis Yisrael was the Ger Rebbe just after the Imre Emes. He became the Ger Rebbe in 1948 in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh. His father was the Imre Emes. The Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, Rebbe Yisrael Alter, he escaped Europe in 1940. Some of you are familiar with Rav Lau's book, Al Tishlach Yadcha El Anar, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, his autobiography from the Holocaust. He describes in there, you know, that he and his brother, they survived the war. They came to Israel. One of the first nights they came to Israel, before they even were placed with their family, they were coming from a refugee camp. They had a guy who knew them, who took them to Yerushalayim for a night, two nights. And you know who they brought them to? He brought them, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, little boy Lulik, and his brother Naftali Tulik, he brought them to the Ger Beis Medrash. And Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau was a little boy. They put him to sleep. And that night, the Beis Yisrael, who was not yet the Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael became the Rebbe in 1948. This was in 1945. That night, when the Lau brothers arrived in Israel, when they came to Yerushalayim, Naftali, he went for a walk with the Beis Yisrael. The two of them first met with the Imre Emes, the elderly sage, the great Ger Rebbe, before he passed away. And that night, Rav Lau says, he went to sleep and his brother went for a walk with the Beis Yisrael. And his brother told him afterwards that they went for a walk. And they were walking. Many of you have been to Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. You've been to the neighborhood called Beis Yisrael. And you know the big street, Malchi Yisrael. You walk up the back small streets in Zichron Moshe, in Geula. So the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, was living in Geula. And he's walking with Naftali Lau. And they're walking quietly, and it's at night. And finally says to him in Yiddish, "Did you see? Did you see the smoke?" And Naftali Lau was very quiet, because he knew that even though the Beis Yisrael was living in Yerushalayim, he had escaped Poland in 1940, but his wife and his children did not manage to get out. And at that time, it was 1945, the Beis Yisrael did not know what had happened to his wife and to his children. He's going to find out, unfortunately, what did happen to them, that they did not survive. So they're walking at night under the Yerushalmi street lamps, and Rav Yisrael, the Beis Yisrael, says to Naftali, "Did you see it?" And Naftali says, he's like frozen. And he says to the Beis Yisrael, he says, "I saw it." And the Beis Yisrael keeps walking. And then he stops. He says, "Did you see the smoke from the top? Are you sure you saw it was smoke?" And he says, "Yeah." And they keep walking. They keep walking. And he stops him one more time and he says, "Did you see what went in? Did you see? Are you sure you saw what went in?" And Naftali says to him, "Yeah." And then they just kept walking in silence. So this is the Beis Yisrael, the first Pesach after the war, before he finds out about his wife and his children. He says, "Yachol me Rosh Chodesh." Maybe you're going to tell the story of the miraculous survival of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving the day, me Rosh Chodesh, from the time when it's the beginning, when there's hischadshus, when there's excitement, when there's newness. Maybe that's when you're going to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tamu lomar b'yom ahu. No, that's not the only time. On that day. I b'yom ahu, it's going to be on that day that we left Mitzrayim. Yochol mi bod yom. Maybe it should be when it's daytime that we're going to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it's clear, when life is good, when things are easy. Tamu lomar b'avur zeh. The Beis Yisrael said, "We're going to tell the story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out. Lo amarti, I didn't say, el b'shal sheish matzah umar munachim lefanecha." A person has to be able to tell the story of our people, of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when there's broken bread and bitter herbs on the table. We still have to be able to be mesaper sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. You know, different people in different points in their lives feel like it's Rosh Chodesh, it's a time of chizuk and energy, and sometimes it's a time, Rachmano Litzlan, of matzah, of mitzui, of being crushed, of smushed, of mara, of bitterness. And the Beis Yisrael, you could just imagine, or you can't imagine, I can't really imagine what that tkufa was for him, what that Pesach was for him, but he taught us that we have to be able to be mesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, even when it's dark, even balelos at night. Vehi sha'am dalav usein avolanu. Good time for a niggin. I don't know what your niggin is. Vehi sha'am da. That's one. Okay, you can go with that. And if you want to go modern, vehi sha'am da. Okay, whatever niggin you're going to go with. Lav usein avolanu. That what? Shelo echad bilvado marolein lechal usein. It's not that. In one generation, somebody tried to kill us. Every generation. Shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu lechal usenu. So the Svar Makdoshim, they point out that it's not external enemies that we're referring to exclusively here. It's also the internal, the Yetzer Hara, that voice that tells us we can't, we should go in a different direction, we're not connected. You know what's amazing? No matter how many times the Yetzer Hara comes back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there to hold our hand. Even if in one door we struggle with the Yetzer Hara, he's still there. Shelo echad bilvad. Sometimes that Yetzer Hara doesn't take one form, he takes many forms. One time the Yetzer Hara takes the form of, don't get out of bed, don't bother davening. Another time the Yetzer Hara takes the form of, you know, you really haven't done enough chesed this year, you should feel pretty lousy. You know, the Yetzer Hara takes a lot of forms. Bechol dor, every generation. When we're young, the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to do this. When we're older, the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to do that. But don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is always there for us. The Gemara says in Yuma, Habol itar misayin lo. If we want to do the right thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not poschim lo. He doesn't open the door just mesayin lo. He helps us. What saves us in every generation from the Yetzer Hara is that support. You know what they say? You're in good hands with the Ribono Shel Olam. You know that commercial with the two hands? It's based in Chicago. You're in good hands. You know the hands? That's the Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilinu miyatam. Matzah. I can't help myself. We have to talk about three different nekudas in matzah this year because we have to. Here's our number one on matzah. We have to talk about this because it's from the late Mori Varabi, Arab Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, Rav Shia Tversky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. So Dr. Tversky, in two places in his writings, talks about the idea of matzah based on Rav Hirsch Melech of Dinov. Dr. Tversky says, you know the difference between chametz and matzah? Chametz, you just let it be. It just grows and expands, but it's unsupervised. It's unstructured. There's no balabas. No one's taking care of it. No one's rolling it. You know, it's like all on its own. It's just wild. It's just vild. But you know what matzah is? Matzah is somebody's taking care. Somebody's watching over it. When I was younger, we used to have matzah baking in our shtibel and Erev Pesach. So there were guys, we kids, we wouldn't be allowed inside. So we would sit outside, of course, making a fire in a garbage can, which is what you want 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds to be doing, unsupervised. So we're making a fire in the garbage can for any bad matzahs they're going to give us. We're going to throw it in the garbage. We're going to burn it. But inside, everyone's involved. Everyone's taking care. Everyone's supervising. One guy is screaming, matzahs are not even on. You put the matzahs in the oven. The other guy's watching the clock. The other one's rolling. The other one's scraping. Everyone's on top of it. It's not unsupervised. So says Dr. Tversky, we eat matzah. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach on this world. He's Mashkiach on our lives. Maybe we don't see it. Maybe we don't feel it. But to understand that we're not living a life of chametz that's just left out there to its own devices. The Ribono Shel Olam is Mashkiach on us. He's paying attention to us. He's metapel in us. He's shouting matzos and ivanadon, and he's getting us with the roller and putting the little holes in us with, if you ever see those metal things that put the rollers in there. Number one, we eat matzah because matzah has a balabas. Somebody's taking care of it. To remind ourselves that we have a balabas. The Ribono Shel Olam is taking care of us. That's number one. Number two, the Friya Dikar Lubavitcher Rebbe of Yosef Yitzchak, he once noticed that the difference between the word chametz and the word matzah, they both have a mem and they have a tzadi, but chametz is just a ches and matzah is with a hey. So chametz, it's a ches, right? It's just, it's like a doorway. It's just totally rooted in the ground. It's anchored in this earth. It's anchored in the physical. So the Friedrich Rebbe says, that's not a way to live. To totally be boxed in and focus just on the physical. He says, you look at a hay. It's true. We live our lives connected to the ground, to this world, to Olam Hazeh. But you know what the hay has? It has a little opening at the top. It has a little window where we can look out at the sky. We can have both feet. The feet of the hay in halacha, the sides of the letter are called the feet. The raglaim, the feet are on the ground, but there's a window to the sky. We have higher aspirations than just looking at the ground to figure out what the menu is and what's going to make us feel good in this world. We have high spiritual aspirations. That's number two. And number three is, and this, we'll just mention our regalachas. I think there's a lot more to think about. I'm just starting to think about it this year. Matzah connects with the experiences we know, of course, of being enslaved and being freed from slavery, the whole Golus of Mitzrayim. The roots of the Golus of Mitzrayim are found in the Bris Bein Habsarim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Yodoa Teda. You should certainly know that your children will be in exile. Avraham Avinu, he was curious. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bama Eida, in what way will I know? Svarim HaKadoshim point out, many Svarim, I saw this also in Bilvav Mishkan Evne and elsewhere, that the Golus of Mitzrayim was the Golus of Da'as, according to Kabbalah, whatever that means. The Golus of Da'as, of knowledge. Avraham Avinu said, Bamo Eda, so one interpretation of Chazal is, because he said Bamo Eda, so they ended up with Yodoa Teda, we got down into Egypt. The origins of Das are very complicated. Because Adam Arishon, you know what he ate? He ate from the Eitz HaDa'as. He wanted to be V'yisem Kelokim. He wanted to be like God, so he ate from the Eitz HaDa'as. You know, one opinion in the Gemara is that the Eitz HaDa'as was chita, it was wheat. So matzah, in a certain sense, is the bread of Da'as. It's the food of Das. The Das of Avram Avinu, perhaps, in that one moment of Bama Edam, the Das of Adam Arishon is wanting to understand. Wanting to understand the full plan. Avram says, Bama Edam, I want to know the full plan. Adam Arishon says, V'yisem Kelokim, I want the Das to understand everything. But maybe part of life is understanding that we won't in this world understand everything and that we can live with questions. Yodoa Teda, we're going to end up in Egypt, and in Egypt we have lots of questions. It's not clear why we went down to Egypt. When we left Egypt, the plan was not clear exactly where we were going and how we were getting there. But sometimes we have to live with questions. And matzah reminds us that that is the tikkun of the Das. That it's not always about knowing everything. Sometimes we live with questions. So we talked about Yochel Merosh Chodesh from the Beis Yisrael, the Hisha Amda, the Yetzer Hara. We talked about three aspects of matzah from Dr. Tversky, Zichron Lavracha, from the Rebbe Rayatz, and now this last idea. Four more Ha'aras and Ha'agada. Tseu Lamad. So when Nechama and I got married, we had the great schus of getting a bracha from a really incredible, unusual tzaddik of our generation, the Halakha Boston Rebbe, Reb Levi Yitzchak of Boston, Reb Levi Yitzchak Horowitz. So he was a remarkable, incredible person on so many levels and so many accomplishments. He transformed the New England Jewish community. He inspired thousands of college students in Chassidim and Balabatim, in Ishtibel in Boston, and then in Har Nof. So I was never zoche to visit Ishtibel in Boston, but I had many opportunities to be in Har Nof in the Boston Ishtibel. And he has an awesome ha'ara in the Boston or Haggadah in the section on Tse Ulamad. It's a special shout out for Emma, for the Boston male clan, the M-A-E-L family. I'm sure there are a lot of Bostoner stories you have there. So the Rebbe says, you know what? We're going to darshan. We're going to take the psukim of Arami Ovidavi and we're going to study them. We're going to delve into the depth. We're going to read between the lines. He says, you know what you should do? Tse ulamad. Go outside. Teach it to others. Share it. Don't just keep it in your own family. Share it with other people. Realize we have an achrayas. And when I saw that the Rebbe wrote that and taught that, I'm like, oh, of course, because that was his whole life. Setting up the New England Hasidic Center was so that other Jews, that secular college kids, that all of humanity would understand the beauty of Torah and of Yiddishkeit. The Rebbe says, don't just lamad, say ulamad. Take the challenge and the opportunity to teach others. The concluding bracha of the entire Haggadah, the bracha, perhaps, on the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, is very, very peculiar. It's so strange. It's the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu. Now, this bracha, the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Pesachim, is a hybrid. Originally, the bracha was very short. Asher Ga'alanu, God took us out, redeemed us, Shkoyach, thank you, that's it. And that's, according to Reb Tarfon, what the bracha was supposed to be forever. But Rabbi Akiva says, no, no, no. You have another big chunk of the bracha. So God, Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, bring us to other festivals. Smeichem b'vinyan irecha. Let's rejoice in the building of Yerushalayim, of the Beis HaMikdash, where we're going to eat the karbanos, where we're going to offer the blood of the karbanos. Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. What a strange bracha. We already said, Asher Goalanu, God, you redeemed us. We just left Egypt. Why are we blessing and asking and aspiring for the building of the Beis HaMikdash in the middle of this bracha? This bracha is about the redemption. So there's a fantastic essay that it expounds on this much greater length from Rav Meir Twersky, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at Reitz of YU, where he points out the centrality of the Beis HaMikdash in our Pesach Seder. There are tons of examples where the experience of the Beis HaMikdash is mimicked and mirrored through our practices, whether maybe it's wearing a kittel for some that looks like the clothing of a kohen, whether it's washing for items that we dip in water, lots of different things. And that's because when we talk about Geula, we have to have our eye on the prize. Eyes on the prize that there's only one redemption. There's only one ultimate Geula, and that is Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And that's, of course, why the last step in Dayenu is Bana Lanu Es Beis HaBechira. The Rebbeinu Shalom built a Beis HaMikdash for us, because that's the definition of Geula. That's why Rav Shechter Shalita explains that the state of Israel is called Reishis Smichas Geula, Seinu, in his opinion, because it's leading to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's his analysis. The whole hope of Geula is Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's why there's a wild, incredible Reb Yonasan Ben Uziel, the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says, on the night of the Seder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked us up, put us on the backs, the wings of the eagles, took us to the Beis HaMikdash to offer the Korban Pesach, and then brought us back to Egypt to leave the next day. Because Geula, authentic Geula, is living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu together in his house in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it's not a violation of the Gemara Ein Chosma B'Shtayim. It's not a problem that you have competing themes in the Bracha B'Asher Golanu. No, it's the same theme, because it's one theme of Geula. God redeeming us from Egypt is just the beginning of the continuum for the ultimate redemption for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash for us. We reflect on the Haggadah, Ha'arah number 9 for tonight. We reflect on the Haggadah and we notice, you know who's absent? Who does not make an appearance except for one passing reference? Who's not in the Haggadah? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is not in the Haggadah. What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Anshei Yisrael, the one who led us out, the one who put up with us a bunch of nudniks for 40 years. What a headache. God forbid, I don't want to say anything bad about Jews, but you know, you just read the Pesukim, we're not an easy bunch and we haven't gotten much easier since then. Let's be honest. Give him a shtickle credit. Give him a little nod. Thank you. Amazing ha'ara from the Heiliger Kloisenberger Rebbe from the Divrei Yatziv. Rav Yekusiel Yehuda Halberstam. The Kloisenberger says, you know why? Because we need to know that in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't need Moshe Rabbeinu. To say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you saved me, you take care of me, I love you, we have a relationship together, we're going places together. You don't need a third wheel. You don't need that awkward guy in the back of the car when you're on that date. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're about to go on vacation. Someone says, can I have a ride? You know, can I maybe? I know, yeah, I see you guys are, but can I have a ride back? It's okay. I'll sit there. I won't talk. I'll be on my phone. Moshe Rabbeinu, it was great. He drove the bus. He took us out. He led us to Sinai, to the desert, to the everything he did. But if Moshe Rabbeinu was taking center stage at the Haggadah, we might think, oh, you know what? To get to the stage of Geula in my life, I need a rabbi. I need a magid. I need a rebbe. The Kloisenberger says, you don't need anyone. To undergo the transformation of Geula and the journey with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need anybody. It's just you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, last ha'ara for tonight. We have a beautiful mitzvah of Kriyas HaHallel, the recitation of Hallel, the night of the Seder. Hallel b'shas hanes, but we do something very strange. We cut it in half. We have a piece of Hallel before the meal and a piece of Hallel after the meal. Now, some of you are thinking, that's not so strange. The first part of the Hallel, that's the instantaneous reaction to the incredible experience of redemption. That is the response. That's the immediate. You don't make a bracha because you just burst out in sheer. We just had this transformational yetziah. And the second half of Hallel, the Gemara tells us we have a yesod that you're supposed to say Hallel when you're happy, when you're full. By the time we get to matzah and maror, people, some of them, they're eating the tablecloth. They're gnawing at, they're like, is there any more karpas? I know I was only supposed to eat like a half a kazayas, but I just need, is it malach? I'll drink the salt water. People, they're so desperate. They're chalashing by the time you get to Hallel. They're mamish, plotzing. So the Gemara says, of course, you say Hallel on nefesh sveya kerasmle. You have to eat. So you want to sit. So first, let's wash. Let's have Shulchan Orech. After we had Shulchan Orech, everybody had delicious chicken. They had fantastic potato kugel. Everyone had maybe even dessert. You had the Afikoma. Now you're chilled. Now you can sing. It's like the difference between Hallel when you had Kiddush and Hallel when you didn't have Kiddush. Sometimes in some places they have a little something before. So you feel, I'm not encouraging anybody to run out of shul and make Kiddush before Hallel. I'm just saying, theoretically. Just let's not take this out of context. You all feel better. You're not hangry. By the time you get to the Magid, it's over. Your mom is hangry. So that's the halachic distinction. But I think there's another piece of this as well. It's not just that you have to say Hallel because there's two dinim. There's the Hallel b'shas haneis and there's the Hallel al nefesh seveya. It's because there are two kinds of freedom. And this is something that we can't discuss now at length because we're out of time. But there's a lot more to say about this. If you look in the, there's an essay I'm happy to share with you if anybody wants. Of course, if you want, in years past, I would give out a handwritten outline, the typed outline. We can email out an outline from tonight if you want. But I can also send you the piece from Rabbi Sachs that starts to talk about two kinds of freedom. Freedom from and freedom to. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, points out in one of his essays that in many of the revolutions, in many emancipation movements, there was violence and bloodshed. Because in this parlance, it was just freedom from. It was just getting rid of the oppressors. We're free from bondage. We're free from abuse. We're free from servitude. But then what? Where do we go next? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us chayrus, not just to be from, out of, away from the Egyptians, but now we're free to accept the Torah, to build a model, godly, divine society in our land, to accept the Torah and to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. We're free to accomplish something. We're not just free from something. So maybe the pshat is, there are two halals. The first halal is, and it's actually what we call in halacha, halal hamitzri, we're free. Thank God we got rid of those Egyptians. We're free from Egypt. That's halal number one. But halal number two, lo lanu, Hashem, lo lanu. God, this is not about us. It's about you. Hashem, you take care of us. You took care of everything. Hallelujah, Hashem. Hodul Hashem. It's about embracing God in a proactive way. It's about going from freedom from being stuck in fate, being passive, to embracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second halal is saying, now we have somewhere to go. It's not just that we're running away from the Egyptians, it's that we're running to the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's ultimately where we end our Seder. Many of us conclude Seder with Shir HaShirim. It's that love song, that embrace between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the second half of the Hallel. So to summarize very briefly, we started with Kadesh and Rav Chana Henoch. He told us, we have the capacity to create Kedusha. Believe in ourselves, remember that we have a father and therefore Vekana ben Shoel. Number two, Terach, we might not be perfect parents. We might not be the most amazing role models. We might not be our best selves, but we still have something good to contribute and we can keep growing. Number three, Rav Schwartz is teaching from Rav Soloveitchik not to be like the Rasha, but to be willing to open ourselves up to say, Ein Kelokeinu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects this, we got to be prepared to step up.
A mitzvah is not a good deed, it's a commandment. Number four, Yachol Me'Rosh Chodesh, maybe you would think that you're only going to sing the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Beis Yisrael, when it's Hischadshus, no, even Bavurzeh, even when it's Matz and Marer. Number five, the V'Hisha'amda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports us in our struggle with your Yetzirah in every Tekufa. Number six, the three aspects of Matzah, that number one, there is a Balabas who takes care of the Matzah, who takes care of us. Number two, we have an opening at the top of the hay that we aspire to spiritual greatness. And number three, there is an element of das, of understanding that we don't know everything and we can live with questions. Our seventh Ha'aretz Seyu Lamad, the Bostoner told us, go out there, be proud of Yiddishkeit and share it with other people. Asher Ga'alanu, the centrality of the Beis HaMikdash in our lives when we think of Geula in our personal and collective destiny. Number nine, the Kloisenberger's observation that we don't need Moshe Rabbeinu to go on a journey with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number 10, the two halves of Hallel, the freedom from and freedom to. We have that capacity to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not just running away from Egypt, but we are running to Sinai. We're running to Eretz Yisrael, to our personal Geula, to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thank you all so much for coming. Wish you a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Lots more amazing Torah opportunities to come.